Good evening, everyone, and welcome to edition number 3 of New Thought on the News. I'm Barbara Fields, Executive Director of the Association for Global New Thought, the organization that brings you this series on the third Thursday of every month at this same time. To those of you who have been following the series so far, welcome back. And to those joining us for the first time, we're glad to have you with us because New Thought on the News has really stimulated some incredible dialogue and food for new thought, excuse the pun, that you can now become a part of. The first thing it is my pleasure to do today is introduce you to today's panelists. Reverend Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith is now Sir Michael Beckwith. In recognition of his commitment to the healing of humanity, Michael has been knighted by the Order of the Orthodox Knights of St. John. This order, begun before the separation of churches, the order was established in 1798 by His Majesty Emperor Paul I of Russia. It is considered the oldest humanitarian organization in existence based on lineage, legacy, and service to humanity, regardless of caste, creed, or economic status. So this is really quite an honor to be bestowed on Reverend Michael, Sir Michael, and since it's late-breaking news, I wanted you to be all aware of that today. Congratulations, Sir Michael. What a thrill.
Thank you so much, Barbara. It was a powerful event, and you could feel the lineage of all of those years and all of those people who have been knighted before us. You could feel it in the room. It was very, very powerful and very humbling.
Of course, Michael is also founder and spiritual director of the Agape International Spiritual Center, a trans-denominational community of 10,000 local members and thousands of worldwide affiliates. Agape's outreach programs feed the homeless, serve incarcerated individuals and their families, advocate the preservation of the planet's environmental resources, and globally build and support orphanages whose children have survived the ravages of war and so much more. He is co-founder and president of the Association for Global New Thought since 2002 and convener of 3 synthesis dialogues with His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Michael is founder of the University of Transformational Studies and Leadership in Los Angeles. He is a musician and author of 40-Day Mind Fast Soul Feast, A Manifesto of Peace, and Living from the Overflow. Reverend Michael is also co-founder with AGNT and the MK Gandhi Institute of the Gandhi King Season for Nonviolence. And, of course, Agape website is agapelive.com. So, Michael, just check in with us for a minute and just tell us, greet the people and give us a good word.
Well, Barbara, thank you so much for being on the line with us, and I'm so grateful to be here with my colleague and friend Wendy. And so grateful to be with everyone who is tuning in to this New Thought on the News. I just think as we come together like this and have these kind of dialogues, it not only impacts our life and the life of those that we live with and work with, but because we're dealing with energy and insights and shifts of consciousness, it affects the whole world. You know, we're all holographic expressions of the Most High. So I'm just grateful to be a part of this upward movement of the Association of Global New Thought as we've taken on this new assignment, and I'm glad to be here.
Thanks. Our second panelist this evening is Reverend Wendy Craig Purcell, who is founder and CEO of the Unity Center, a 1,500-member spiritual community in San Diego. As Leadership Council member and Vice President of the Association for Global New Thought, she served as convener of the 3 synthesis dialogues with His Holiness Dalai Lama, and also traveled to Istanbul, Turkey, in planning for the Abraham Path Initiative, an AGNT partnership with the Harvard Negotiation Project to open up a pilgrimage route in the Middle East, retracing the footsteps of the prophet Abraham. With a strong interest in spiritually motivated social action, Wendy and the Unity Center were instrumental in the early formation of the San Diego Department of Peace grassroots group. That initial group, Americans for the Department of Peace, now encompasses all of Southern California, with the Unity Center providing ongoing support. Wendy is author of Ask Yourself This, Questions to Open the Heart, Expand the Mind, and Awaken the Soul. The Unity Center leads Travel with a Purpose tours focusing on adventure, culture, and sacred service. And it also operates one of the largest fair trade boutiques in Southern California. You can find out a lot more at the Unity Center website, which is theunitycenter.net. Welcome, Wendy. How are you doing?
Hi, Barbara. I'm doing great. It's a delight to be with you on the call and all of our callers that have joined us. And Michael, congratulations on your being knighted. That's just a wonderful, wonderful blessing.
Thank you.
It's great. You're welcome. It's great to be here. We just came back from traveling in Peru with the Travel with a Purpose trip there, where we helped an impoverished community build a greenhouse to change their economic situation there through the use of a microfinance loan, about a hand up rather than a hand out. So it's just great to be here back in San Diego and with you, Barbara, and with you, Michael.
Beautiful.
Welcome, welcome. So now we'd like to hear from you who have called in on the lines. That's very difficult because we have so many people signed up for the call, but Megan is going to turn on your mics for a moment. And on the count of three, I'd like to ask you to speak your name and where you're from into the whole group. And even though we won't be able to hear all the words you speak, it will definitely establish the field of our collective presence here today in this space. And that is always such a thrill, at least for me. So I'm going to count to three, and then I'd like you to all introduce yourselves and where you're from. Ready for this? Here we go. One, two, three. Wow, that sounded like a symphony to me. Absolutely perfect. Thank you so much. Okay, so just as we get ready to begin the substantive conversation that we're about to lead today, I would like to ask Reverend Michael and Reverend Wendy to begin with a short blessing.
All righty, I'd be happy to do that. And since we just heard this wonderful chorus of sound as we all said our names and where we're from, I invite us now to just shift the energy for a moment, to bring the energy to that center point within you as we pause together for just a few moments to be in this place of this sacred, holy present moment right here, right now. I just ask you to join me in taking a nice deep breath in and let that breath go, and with it, let go of any of the cares and concerns of today or tomorrow. As we begin to shift our attention now from the world of effect to the world of cause, relaxing and letting go and opening together into this experience here and now. We recognize that we live in times of challenge and change, but we also live in times of tremendous possibility. We know that these times are meant to drive us forward and deeper in evolving what it is to be an awakened presence on this planet. And I give thanks knowing, too, that Spirit moves through each of us individually and collectively and is greater than anything that we could ever meet in the world of appearance. For a moment, we move into that still but powerful co-creative realm of cause, giving thanks that all the answers we seek reside in that one mind and that one presence, that all the power that we need, all the creativity we need, all the insight we need to move through, meet, and transcend the world of appearance, of challenge, is right here in our very midst. Know this together. We affirm this together. We anchor this in our being together. And we know it is so. Bless our time, and I bless this call. Amen.
Michael, would you like to add?
Yes. I, too, just continue in the magnificent consciousness established by Wendy Craig Purcell. Allow us to just get a real sense, continue to have a real awareness that we are indeed living, moving, and having our beingness in this grand presence, that we call God, the love, the intelligence, the beauty that governs all creation. We're keenly aware that not only is this presence in everything, but more importantly, everything is in the presence. The presence is everywhere, whole. It does not divide itself into parts or parcels. It is everywhere in its fullness, which means for us that right where we are, the fullness of God is. The intelligence, the beauty, the love, the wisdom, transforming knowledge, the pure creativity. All of these qualities, and more than tongue can tell, is within us to be activated and cultivated and ultimately expressed. So I too join Wendy and bless this call and everyone in attendance, knowing that we come together as one and become so receptive to the eternal broadcast of the Spirit of the Living God that is broadcasting from every blade of grass, every piece of sand, every part of nature is screaming out, "Let there be life, let there be light. I am what thou art what I am." And we, the image and likeness of this presence, are becoming more and more consciously aware of this eternal truth, anchoring it on earth as it is in the mind of the infinite. So I'm privileged to be with and to embrace Barbara Fields and Megan and Wendy and Michael, and together with everyone in attendance, as we're lifted up, we draw all into a higher frequency that makes a mighty difference on this planet. For this and more than words can say, I do give thanks, and let it be. So it is. Amen.
So it is. Thank you, my sister and brother. Before we begin our panel discussions, I'd like to take just a moment to set the stage for this unique program. New Thought on the News is for spiritual beings who are very much concerned about and engaged in the real stories and circumstances that appear in our mainstream media every day. Spirituality based on the principles of New Thought is the foundation of our worldview, and we strive sincerely to connect these principles with our practices in real-time situations, whether they are taking place in our families, our communities, our nation, or our world as a whole. But we all need support in this journey because, overwhelmingly, the news of the day is bad news. It's sensational and violent, filled with problems that we are told do not have solutions, or at least not ones available to us. No wonder the citizens of the world are depressed and afraid. But New Thought on the News is here to remind us that this hopeless story of current civilization we are presented with is not the truth, but actually only one of the many possible narratives we can choose as the news. You, I, and our presenters today are here to collaborate and support one another in our choice to look at current events according to the spiritual principles that transcend the story being told by the interpreters of doom and those who trade on the confusion and hopelessness often felt by the so-called ordinary mainstream public. We are not here on the third Thursday of each month to simply pretend that all is well, or that the very real and critical issues facing the world today are to be minimized or ignored as we sing Kumbaya in some magical universe of denial. We are here to take responsibility as spiritually motivated citizens and to find realistic ways to engage with these issues. This is the only way we can become part of the solution instead of paralyzed with fear, and lead others into doing the same. So, let's begin. Wendy, could you tell us a little bit about your impression and vision of the general theory of why and how New Thought spiritual principles reframe the dialogue on world events in the news?
Sure. Well, I remember well when we were sitting in our last AGNT meetings as the Leadership Council and talking about the role of New Thought in the world and we as teachers and practitioners of it, what is our job, what is our role. And one of the things we had talked about was a very real need to have our voice be at the table and have our voice be part of the culture itself, to not shrink back or be afraid and withdraw from the news, but to actually engage with it and speak about it, whether to family or to friends or to our coworkers, from a New Thought spiritual perspective. That our voice really needs to be heard, both literally and energetically, because we know the power of consciousness. And so the why behind all of this, I think, is the recognition that our teachings, the teachings of New Thought, when actually practiced, we know change consciousness. We also know that we can't solve the problems that we're facing in the world today at the same level of consciousness that created them or with the same old techniques and approaches. We also know that our New Thought teachings and practices equip us to be able to look squarely at the issues that are around us in a way in which we still remain centered and poised in a place of faith, knowing the truth. And from that place, to have the ability to help to begin to dispel the fear and to silence the distracting chatter of confusion that we hear all around us. It's about opening a way for a new and creative and real and lasting solutions, I think, to come forward. And we have all of this not just in our teachings, but in the way that we evolve and change as a result of practicing our teachings. And so I think we simply must approach the news, the current events, from a spiritual perspective and a spiritual practice. And the perspective that comes out of that, the perspective that comes out of our spiritual practice, is an absolutely different perspective than comes from race consciousness, which is what the news reflects. We know that how we see the problem is the biggest part of the problem. And so what I know is that our teaching, my practice, helps me to always look within, to be responsible, to be informed and engaged, and to take action from a calm and centered place. And so I think that what we're attempting to do in these calls is to encourage our teaching and practice of New Thought to be much more alive and much more heard in the world today, to dispel some of the fear and balance out some of the news that we're hearing.
Thank you. Yeah, that was very well stated. Michael, would you like to add a few thoughts in general about the vision of what we're up to here? Michael, did we lose you?
Right here.
Okay.
As we were talking about earlier, there's a narrative that runs the corporate media, and that narrative is, if it bleeds, it leads. It's the lowest common denominator of the human experience. It's the most negative of all human experiences that we see every single day going across our radio dial or our television dial. And, of course, that's emanating from a perspective and a world view of separation, of lack, scarcity, not enoughness, division, which are, of course, the total opposite of what we teach in New Thought, that we come from a consciousness of oneness, of unity, abundance, not materialism, but abundance and plentitude, and that there's more than enough for everyone. And so when we have the opportunity to look at the news and news items square in the face, they allow us to pose certain questions. We know that, as I often teach, that behind every problem, which means emblem, there's a question that's trying to ask itself. And behind every question, there's an answer, because you can't have a question without an answer. It's an impossibility. And behind every answer, there's an action. And behind every action, there's a way of life trying to be born. So when we look at the news squarely in the face, we can kind of get a sense of what question is trying to be asked here, what quality is trying to emerge. And then we can begin to articulate those qualities, and those particular actions embody them. And through, as Wendy said, through whole soul spiritual practice, that provides the context for insight, embodiment, and then we become on the cutting edge of the next stage of human evolution. So I appreciated what you said earlier. We're not here denying that bad things are happening in the world and to people, but we are embracing that there is something real, something eternal, something that's inexhaustible, something that is absolute indestructible, that we are turning to and turning from, that allows us to be vehicles of answers and ultimately actions. See, I've always loved the quantum statement as it was prescribed to Jesus, to Christ, where he said, if I am lifted up, I draw all unto me. And as we're lifted up and we have greater insight and greater revelations about what's real, then we lift people. And instead of doom and gloom, instead of woe is me, instead of self-fulfilling prophecies of negativity, we lift people into possibilities, into potential that we know in our teaching is everywhere within us. It's present if we can but see it. And so we become interested in seeing answers and solutions and then becoming the vehicle so that they can express through us. So, it's just my joy to be with everyone here.
Yeah, it strikes me already that I even feel my own consciousness changing from the world of the linear, practical, closed system to a system of possibilities that's nonlinear, where lots of possibilities emerge. So,
yes.
Totally with you there. Wendy, did you have any afterthoughts on that one or want to hold it this time?
I'll hold it this time.
Great. You know, we have a few minutes. One of the things I like about the Maestro Conference Service is that those of you who are on the call can raise your hands. That is, I can see this little hand raised on the screen if you press 1 on your telephone keypad. And we won't take a lot of time right at this point in the call. But if there's anyone here who would like to make a brief comment or ask a brief question of either Michael or Wendy pertaining to what was just said, please press 1 on your telephone keypad and I'll be able to recognize that you have something to say. Okay. Thank you. Joyce Zender. Hi, Joyce.
Hi. It's great that we have this communication by phone. However, we're talking about the news media, and I think it's about time that New Thought got into the news media and not talking about it. There are all kinds of religious shows on TV, all kinds of denominations. There is nothing that I know of whatsoever about New Thought. I don't know where the money comes from to do it, but I think it's time that we start walking our talk in the broadcasting system and teach the people to watch the shows what we're talking about. Teach them that every time there's a news report that comes on full of all this gross negativity, it's prayer time.
Yes.
That's the time to really focus on a way to find solutions, not to get sucked into all the negativity.
Yeah, we absolutely agree with you, Joyce. And you know, there's some good news probably coming out in the world about some of these media outlets opening up to some more New Thought programming in the future, and we'll be talking about that in future shows. So thanks for your comment. Let's take another one. I saw a hand raised by Joe Hooper. Hi, Joe.
Hi there. Michael and Wendy, how would you, from the pulpit, approach the whole situation in Egypt right now?
We want to jump into topic now. Are we doing this now, Barbara? Or?
I think, you know what, Joe, if you don't mind, can we save it for a discussion a little further back, down in the program? Do you mind?
Absolutely, no problem.
Okay.
But that is a good topic to get into, though.
Absolutely. We've had plenty of you. By the way, when you go to the agnt.org site and click on New Thought on the News, there's a vehicle for you to enter comments and questions so that we can figure out what you're thinking about. And I want to thank everyone who's entered a very large volume of excellent comments and questions about particular issues like that, and we had quite a bit coming in about Syria and Egypt, so we'll get to that a little later in the program. At this point, I think let's move on so that we follow the energy, and let's go to the second part of the panel, part two, where we're going to actually hear from Wendy and then Michael on a specific issue that they've chosen in order to make to demonstrate this perspective in real time. So, Wendy, I'm just going to ask you to dive right in and introduce your topic and then share with us the remarks that you've prepared.
Sure. So first of all, I want to acknowledge Tom's question just a moment ago about Egypt. You know, I thought about any number of topics to speak to this evening, from our whole situation in San Diego with Mayor Filner, to the Snowden situation, to what's going on in Egypt and Syria. And what I know in terms of what's going on in Egypt right now, as a New Thought student and teacher, I want to be more thoroughly informed before I begin to frame anything specific around that, other than holding it absolutely in my consciousness of prayer and doing that kind of work. But the topic that I had picked, I picked based on the one that I think impacts so very many of us and lands so squarely, I think, within our new thought practices and teachings. And that has to do with what's going on with the minimum wage right now and the shrinking of the middle class. I think we can all relate to the economic situations that we've been facing now for a few years. You know, so whether it's the fact of fast food workers that, you know, we're hearing are striking over minimum wage in our major cities in New York and Chicago and Detroit and Kansas City. We're in New York City, the average minimum wage for somebody working in a fast food restaurant is $9 an hour. In other cities, even less than that. It's not a livable wage. Or that according to the Economic Policy Institute, our chief executive officers at the nation's top restaurant companies earn more in one morning than the average minimum wage worker in their restaurants makes all year. There's something wrong with that. Or the alarming fact that we're losing our middle class and the gap between the haves and the have-nots continues to widen. Or that since the 70s, the percentage of households with middle class incomes has declined from 50% to 42%. Or that average hourly earnings in the U.S. when adjusted for inflation haven't increased in 50 years. Or that 28% of Americans don't have anything saved for emergencies, and over a million children nationwide are homeless on any given night, or one in five Americans is on food stamps. But I think that New Thought brings a valuable and needed perspective on these kinds of economic conditions. And first, I need to say that the New Thought that I'm speaking about is not what I sometimes refer to as New Thought Light. Like you have Coke Light, I think that we've got in some segments of our New Thought movement and teaching what I would call New Thought Light. To me, New Thought Light is a dabbling in metaphysics, a dabbling that it merely scratches the surface of truth and it stops, kind of luring folks in with the promise of a simple, sometimes even labeled secret approach to manifestation. It's kind of like affirmations without actions and visualization without the deeper work of spiritual growth and personal growth and maturity. And these are the kinds of changes that need to be happening on an individual and collective basis, not just within our New Thought communities, but the kinds of changes that need to be happening in race consciousness. So it's not about New Thought Light. It's a New Thought Deep, if you will, or New Thought Life that delves ever more deeply into that current of spiritual truth. New Thought Life recognizes our teachings and our practices have to be used alongside of our personal effort, not in place of personal effort. It recognizes that we need, as I will often say to my community, we need to get up off our affirmations. So our deeper New Thought teachings would have us look at the real issues behind some of the economic conditions that we're facing. And I think some of those real issues are these: a belief in lack. And when we believe in lack, then that causes us to be fearful or greedy or desperate. I think another is our belief that we're separate, which causes us to live without real conscious regard for how our individual life and lifestyle of consumerism or wastefulness impacts the environment, and those a continent away. The deeper issues, the belief that stuff, the right stuff or enough stuff, will somehow make us happy or heal our broken heart or satisfy us. These are the kinds of beliefs and race consciousness in our mass community that we need to begin to unravel and change. And we need to look at them, I think, in ever deeper ways inside of ourselves. I think our deeper New Thought teachings would have us look at the difference between what I refer to as entitlement consciousness, the feeling that I deserve to have what I want, when I want it, I deserve to be middle class with minimal effort just because, versus abundance consciousness, which is different. Abundance consciousness, which combines spiritual principle and practice with personal responsibility and lifelong learning and true effort. And I think our New Thought teachings would have us recognize the difference between true abundance consciousness versus a prosperity-driven life. I've been in New Thought now for almost 40 years, and I'm delighted to say that we are maturing as a teaching, and we're not about a prosperity-driven, consumer-driven, find-the-parking-space-driven teaching anymore. It's about a balanced and meaningful life on all levels, on all levels. The other's about an endless drive for more without ever stopping to ask the deeper question, when is enough enough? Do I believe that the minimum wage should be raised? Yes, I absolutely do. But I also know that that alone isn't going to solve the problems of those seeking that increase if it is not also coupled with some of these other kinds of changes that New Thought is so well equipped to facilitate through our teachings and through our communities. So that, to me, is a New Thought perspective on what we're facing in our economic situations today.
Thank you so much, Wendy. You know, what you said about the idea of a certain version of New Thought Light, I have to say that really I hope that we address that question more and more on New Thought in the news and other venues, because from its very inception in 1997, Association for Global New Thought has really been action and program oriented, which is why I would encourage everyone on the call, again, to make sure to visit the agnt.org website, because our commitment over these past 16 years has been to fill that site with substantial content and programming that's available to everyone for free, especially through our Gandhi King Seasons for Peace and Nonviolence, programs in humanitarian service, programs for the earth, programs in nonviolence, programs in interfaith and intercultural dialogue, and so many more resources that are available for people who are serious about the spiritual activism that they're doing on the ground that will lift us out of this notion that New Thought is lightweight in some way, shape, or form. So I really appreciate, Wendy, all the remarks that you've made and the way that you framed it. So I'd like to ask Michael if you'd just go, Sir Michael, if you go ahead and introduce your topic today, which is a very interesting one, I know, for many people on the call.
Oh, we're doing two topics and then we raise the hands? Oh, I thought we were doing raising the hands now.
I think I'll wait until after, if you don't mind, if you'll go at this point, and then we'll take questions on what either of you have said.
Beautiful. First of all, I just want to concur with Wendy. I really appreciated what she had to say about New Thought Light and the princes and the parking spaces and all of that. And I do feel with her that the movement has matured and is maturing to becoming a more of a an agent of transformation, really tapping in more into our mystical roots, and so that our life is about the unfolding of our soul, becoming more of who we really are, rather than grabbing and getting, and that we're moving from getting to letting, getting something to allowing something to unfold in us, and that we're moving from, we're moving to appreciation rather than acquisition. That the world is full of, from the egocentric point of view, of acquiring and getting, and we're now moving to a deep appreciation of who we are, what the presence is, and from that vibration of appreciation, we activate and become aware of what she was speaking about, this field of abundance that we all live in. And as it states in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, you take abundance from abundance, and abundance still remains. So we're dealing with a principle and a law that we operate from, but it's not materialism or consumerism. It's a consciousness. This, I love that. I love that topic that you brought up. What reminds me of too, and I'm going to jump into mine in just a second, but she got me fired up a little bit. when Clinton was in his last year of office, he called a few of us into his office, and he said that the next regime that would be elected, he said the country will be bankrupt, and we will be in war, and the middle class will disappear. I mean, he described exactly what was going to happen, and what has happened since then, in terms of the false sense of scarcity and lack that runs the gamut to the human experience, and all of the ways that that so-called the prosperity has been dammed up. And so, as individuals who are practitioners of new thought and abundance, you know, again, we're coming into a space where we're transforming our life, disconnecting from the hypnotism outside of ourselves and the greed and the avarice and the rivalry and the malice and the stinginess, and really tapping into the sacred qualities and making a mighty difference, even if it begins outside of a system, so to speak, but becomes the emerging paradigm of sharing, of kindness, of compassion, of love, of circulation of goods, of businesses that are built upon principles of abundance and generosity and making a difference on the planet. So I stand with Wendy. Exactly what you said, I think, was just got me very excited. The news item that came up, there were so many of them that came up for me, and primarily because there's been dialogue in the community around Agape, but not just at Agape, in different sites, there have been dialogues around the Trayvon Martin case. And, of course, when George Zimmerman was acquitted, it sent a spark throughout the nation, whether or not it was fair, whether justice was really given, and this type of thing. But the dialogues themselves, regardless of the jury outcome, brought up a whole lot of really deep and soul-searching people asking some very, very profound questions. We had a night of dialogue at Agape around it, and people from all stripes were here basically speaking their truth into this particular subject. And it came down to people beginning to understand that in the Black community and the Latino community, there's a different conversation that goes on when a person leaves their home, the mother has with the child, than in other communities often. It reminded me of when I was growing up, that my mother gave me survival skills on how to deal with police officers, you know, and because it wasn't, you know, in our community they weren't protecting and serving necessarily. They were more like invaders and harassing us most of the time, and much of the time, I will say. And so it brought people to an understanding that people live in different worlds right here in the United States, and that in terms of the verdict I was sharing with the congregation, that George Zimmerman got a jury of his peers, and that justice was served because his peers, the women that were on the jury, basically said that if they were to saw a black man with a hood going through a private community, they would be frightened and they would be afraid, and they may have acted the same way. And so it really speaks to lifting the conversation around racial profiling, around dissolving the sense of separation, coming into a sense of unity. And from the community of the darker hue, the conversation is about forgiveness. The conversation in the other community is about compassion, understanding, that other point of view. And I think that when Barack Obama went on the air and talked about his experiences being in America as an African American, I had just given a similar talk like the week before, and it really allowed for dialogue to occur. One of the things that happened a couple of weeks ago I thought was quite interesting is that it speaks to this issue. Two women was her bank checking account was pilfered. Someone stole her identity. And she went into the bank with another woman to speak to the bank manager about it. And they were African American, and the bank manager was white. And he was distrusting them, that they had done something wrong, and it was giving them a very, very hard time. And finally, one of the women said to the men, says, "You're acting like George Zimmerman," and which speaks to the fact that name has now become synonymous with, you know, racism and stalking somebody, having a confrontation, and killing somebody. You know, and they eventually, you know, did their business and mended their defenses there. But I was challenging the congregation for us to love so deeply and for us to connect so profoundly with the One Presence that people mistake us for Gandhi. They mistake us for the Dalai Lama. They mistake us for the new Martin Luther Kings. They mistake us for the new Mother Teresa's. They mistake us for Amma. They mistake us for people who are in touch with the dynamic of peace, which is not the absence of conflict. Peace is a dynamic of harmonizing good. And so the whole trial just afforded the possibility of deep conversations to take place, to see how different people live in the world, and to grow either in forgiveness if you're victimized by that, or to grow in compassion, to have a deep understanding of what people go through. And then at the same time, forge wonderful alliances based on oneness to build a kind and just global society where justice is fairly meted out to all, not just the rich or people who can afford an attorney, but the whole system needs to be retrofitted, so to speak, so that justice does become blind, which it is not at this moment. So it really invites us to go deep into our principles, evolve as a species, and then allow our systems to begin to reflect the highest and best within us. So I think that's where I'll leave it.
You know, it strikes me that I've had this theory for a long time that when an old system is dying, one thing it will do is rear up its ugly head with a great deal more energy just as it's going down. At least that's what I choose to believe. And we're seeing it happening with racism. There, you know, with some of the legislation that's been passed lately.
Right,
there's been
right.
a kind of resurgence, like the thorn bird comes to mind because it has something to do with the flower that blooms just before the plant is dying. There's almost like an intractable digging in of the heels, like we will not go lightly, even though it's our time to go. So my hope is that this new resurgence of racism in this country is really the death throes or the dying pangs of a system that is so obsolete, so unacceptable, so outdated in terms of being unjust that what we're seeing now is something that might create a trend where it can be gone from the earth forever. At least that's what I want to believe.
Yeah, I want to accept that because it's like you say, it's raising up, but it's like in a healing when something is coming up like an infection. You can see it. You know what I mean? Whereas before it was kind of hidden. And I think there's a general consensus that that's not a high quality of humanity, racism and bigotry, and that And so now that it's seen in certain spaces by the legal system and political system, it can now be more dealt with because it's not hidden. It's not in the background. People are very bold these days with their racism. I have tremendous vision and great possibility, and based on many of the dialogues I've been in throughout all the communities, there's a lot of good people on the planet. You know, I way more than who gets the airplay and who gets the mouthpiece at times, the horn at times.
Exactly. Wendy, did you have any follow up on that?
No, just totally agree. Totally agree.
You know, we're gonna, in a couple of minutes, we're gonna get into small group circles, just four or five people in a their own breakout session. Because that's a better place for dialogue than one person raising their hand and so on. But before we do that, we actually do have time for one or two questions or comments responding to the questions and topics that Wendy and Michael have brought up. So if there's anyone who would like to speak before we go into our small groups, you can let me know by pressing 1 on your telephone keypad. Okay, we have a lot of veterans on this call that know that the real conversation happens in the group. So I think we'll do that right now. We'll be putting you into these breakout groups to discuss the questions and insights that have come up for you, our listeners, in this conversation thus far. And this is basically the way that works. When the bell rings, an announcement will be made that you are now in your breakout group, and you're to facilitate yourselves. An easy way to do this, since you can't see each other, is to start by going around and introducing yourself and where you are from. Then go around again, but this time go alphabetically by first name. And each take a minute or two to share your thoughts. A bell will ring two times, once halfway through the breakout session, just to help you with your timing so everyone gets a chance to speak. And then a bell will ring just a second time, just before the session is ending. So I hope you have a fruitful discussion, and we'll see you in about 7-8 minutes or so. Have a good time.
You are now in a breakout. Please begin.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for engaging in the breakout group sessions. I know that we always need more time for this piece, but at least it's a beginning. As we reach the top of the hour, I would like to invite Reverend Michael and Reverend Wendy to make a few brief closing remarks on anything they wish to share, and also share a closing blessing. And at that point, I'll just come back and tell you what we can expect to hear from New Thought on the News next month. Michael and Wendy, share concluding remarks.
Sure. Did you want to go first, Michael?
No, you can go. Go right ahead.
One of the things that I think is very powerful for us to remember, and it's very important for me to remember personally as well, we come and are in a teaching that knows the power of consciousness and the power of the spoken word, and we've used it a lot in our use of affirmations. I think the new iteration of that really comes into play with these issues that we're talking about today, is for each of us, as we are awakening in our own consciousness, to really speak clearly, to not be afraid to have these kinds of important conversations where we talk about the kind of perspective that New Thought has, and the hope and the teaching and the way through, and the fact that we are all one, and all of this, that we don't shy away from it, because culture and race consciousness will change as the conversations that we have change. And conscious beings really need to be having these conversations with our neighbors, with our friends, and never be afraid to bring up this perspective. And so that's the blessing that I would like to put forth for our work together, that we let the voice of New Thought be at the table in our conversations over coffee with friends and coworkers to really shift the culture and change race consciousness.
Amen.
Amen.
Michael?
Responding to someone who had their hand up earlier about the news and things of that particular nature, you know, we are the ones that when there is a headline, that is a prayer request. We teach that whatever the news is, we don't look at it as reality. We look at it as condensed, as facts, as condensed lies. If it's negative, if it's about lack or limitation or fear or separation or hate, and the news actually becomes a prayer request for us. So at the moment we read the headlines, the moment we go dive deep into an article, we begin to activate our prayer field and begin to activate what spiritual principle appears to be lacking in this particular experience, and then we call it forth. We call it forth in our prayer, in our meditation, in our visioning, so that we're more and more and more not living from a reaction to what is happening, what appears to be happening, but we're living as a response from the only source that there is. And then as Wendy says, we become strong enough to have courageous conversations, to say what needs to be said from a much more enlightened perspective, because conversation shifts perspective and perception shifts experience, and we're then in participating in our own unfoldment rather than thinking that something's just going to magically happen. It's going to happen through us, through our conversation, through our consciousness, through our work, through our dialogue, through our participation in the world. So I think that's what I would like to leave with.
Thank you. Thank you. I know that there's so many issues for us to discuss, and I can tell you that we've heard from June Attenhofer, David Suri, Amy Aspel, and Joe Hooper today, bringing up the idea of what's going on in the Middle East, Syria, and Egypt, and we will look forward to discussing that on future calls. So I'd like you all to know that we welcome and value your feedback, and that you can send us messages and introduce topics at agnt.org. Just click on the New Thought on the News icon, or get in touch with us at info@agnt.org. There will be a recording, a free recording, posted next week on the website, and we'll get in touch with you to let you know when that will be posted. And the next New Thought on the News will be Thursday, September 19th at this same time, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific. Our guests on the September episode will be, again, Reverend Wendy Craig Purcell, and also our founding board member, Barbara Marks Hubbard. We'll email you all with information about the program, and just remember that the call-in number and PIN that you used for today's call will be your permanent access throughout the series, and you'll always receive reminders about that. So I wanted to say very, very, very deep thank you to Wendy and to Michael for participating with us today. Thank you so much.
My joy.
Our pleasure.
And on the count of three, we're going to activate your mics again, and you can go out for the evening wishing each other peace and offering peace to all beings. Thank you so much. One, two, three.
God bless everyone. I know the dynamic peace is invading the hearts of everyone all across the planet. It's happening now, and so it is. Amen.
Amen.
So it is. Amen.
Amen.